Chris Landry with us. That's LandryFootball.com. I encourage you to go into that section, read up, study up, and subscribe. You will not regret it. He also has a podcast several times a week. Chris, how you been, man?
Bill, doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Here is the first question, and it's off of Twitter. It's from Georgia Dog down there on the Emerald Coast. There was a CBS ranking of some sort, and again, they're just random, but it had Jake Fromm as the first pick in the draft. How would you reply to that?
Well, there is no first pick in the draft at this point. That's how I would reply to it. You know, a lot of it just – I mean, there isn't. You know, people want to say, oh, well, who's the guy in this? It doesn't exist in the real world. I don't know that Jake is a first pick of the NFL draft type of player. Quarterbacks are always going to be inflated in terms of value because of their importance. And I think he's a good one. I think he has a chance to be a good pro at some point, but I think that's way premature. I think he has some issues. I think Tua has some, you know, improvement that he needs to do. I think Justin Herbert out on the West Coast had some improvement that he needs to do, just among the quarterbacks. So I would say that, you know, because this is the next question is, well, what happened to him? He was supposed to be the number one guy. No. He's not. Nobody. I just got through with NFL draft meetings. We have scouting combine meetings with Blesto and National, where you grade guys as of this point in you know, going into this upcoming season. But for our listeners, Bill, to understand, because rarely does a guy even play through his senior year anymore, you're dealing with guys with maybe 1 year of film in most cases. So we're talking about just a bunch of people throwing just you-know-what against the wall. I can tell you Chase Young or Jerry Jeudy or Grant Delpit or Derek Brown or Roquan Davis, those guys are really going to be good impact, high draft picks because they played enough football at enough positions to warrant that. But the quarterbacks are just babes in the woods and have very little pedigree to them, even a guy like Tua and a guy like Jake Fromm. They're very good, and how well they play this year and develop will ultimately determine where they're going to get taken. And that could be a big, big range of areas.
I also saw, I think it was Kuiper, he had Jerry Jeudy, the top prospect. Now, how would you compare and contrast the other big-name Alabama Saban receivers like Julio Jones and Amari Cooper? How would he fit in with that group?
I think he's more in the Amari Cooper style, and I think he's probably just slightly better than Amari Cooper at the same stage. There again, how well he plays. I think that, you know, again, I've got a website as well. I think my website's a little different than how other people do it. But the reality is they all got to be mock drafts. And that mock draft is aptly named because it should be mock because it's ridiculous. I mean, there's no such thing. Teams don't have their boards set up, preliminarity or anything at this point. Jerry Jeudy is an elite prospect. Very advanced as a route runner, outstanding quickness, big playability. There's every reason to believe he's going to be a high pick. Best pick in the draft, I would say that's probably not going to be the case, but let's let the season play out because that is going to determine, you know, it's kind of like writing a book report after reading two chapters in a 10-chapter book. I mean, it's too early. Other receivers that I think warrant mentioning, C.D. Lamb is really good. T. Higgins, of course, injured. Obviously, T-Son. You know, Henry Ruggs is another good player that I think has a chance to develop. You know, I think Colin Johnson of Texas. There are a number of guys that, again, because I think it was easier back in the day when guys played 3 years and you had a real large sample size. Now you're going into the senior year. You pretty much had an idea. But most of these guys have got 1 year of production. Well, that's not nearly enough to go on. So it puts the upcoming season, which in most cases their junior year going to be their last year, or redshirt sophomore year their last year, it puts a greater emphasis on how productive they're going to be this year and then how productive they are in the postseason process. I think there are a number of good players, and I think there are a few good receivers that have a chance to be good. And I would say Judy's the best of the bunch that is likely going to be in the draft next year. But to start comparing him to other positions, I would say that he's probably a top five, type eight type player, and we'll see from there.
Couple of guys that transferred a year ago and played, Shea Patterson and Joe Burrow. What kind of prospects are they?
Joe Burrow, to me, is a smart, tough guy that the upside for him would be to be a quality backup in the league. Capable early on, Bill, and there's a little bit of a trend. I know NFL is not what we talk about, but as it relates to college players going to it, I think this is a pertinent point. And one of the things that I'm working a lot on, and I think teams are really grabbing onto, is the importance of, okay, your third quarterback. And it really stems from what's going on in New Orleans with Taysom Hill, who came out of BYU. Right. So he's a third quarterback. He's good enough to finish a game, but he's athletic enough to be able to play a slot, a running back, play on all the core special teams. So now you got not wasting a spot for a third quarterback, because most people feel like, all right, that third quarterback, we just keep two and we'll just sign a veteran, you know, if we lose our start. Well, now you got a third quarterback who's an athlete that could finish a game for you in an emergency, but also be a core special teams guy and also maybe be a short yardage quarterback, short yardage goal line, and be a versatile guy. I think Joe Burrow can do that. Trace McSorley from last year. I know we got a couple of big Penn State fans that asked me about him last year, and that's kind of how I see Trace. Kind of in that role, particularly in Baltimore, behind Lamar Jackson, that's kind of a fit. So I think Burrow, while not as athletic as those two guys, pretty athletic, smart, tough. I think he could be a number three guy that could do multiple things and maybe be a backup quarterback that could make a nice living. He's not a starting caliber guy. Shea Patterson, I think, has a little bit more upside as a passer. But, again, how well he develops, what Justin Gattis will be allowed to do this year with that offense will probably determine. He's got a little bit more natural throwing skills to develop into potentially a developmental quarterback. But to this point, he hasn't been productive enough. So we'll see. But I'm excited to see how both progress this year. Obviously, the success of both teams are going to be tied to the play of those two guys.
Literally, Joe Burrow might have saved Coach O's career.
Yeah, listen, we talk about the transfer, which, by the way, I am less and less of a fan of as we're approaching over 800 players in that transfer portal, and half of them, Bill, can't find a school.
Right.
I don't want to get off on that. I don't want to hijack the show. But I think these are one of the unintended consequences with it. You don't win the job, just transfer, just quit, go somewhere else. That's a bad message we're sending. But anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. So one of the things that I do think is beneficial for the school is you don't recruit the quarterback position well, or you don't develop well, you can go pick a quote-unquote, air quotes, college free agent. Go get somebody that is still very good, but could come in, maybe save the day, maybe help you, add some depth, and oh, by the way, maybe come in and start and be the answer for you. So let's say you're a team like LSU that recruits well, that has really good athletes on defense, normally has good backs, have good receivers, normally has although the line of scrimmage hadn't been as good in terms of recruiting, it's still historically been very good, but they have not recruited or developed quarterbacks well. You can go and kind of rent one, so to speak, sign one, so to speak. That's got a little bit more pedigree to them coming in. I think it has saved them because, now, to a point, it has, and I think this year he could take a step up. And by the way, just an FYI, he has become the alpha dog leader at LSU. I mean, all of their off-season conditioning programs, you know, first one to run sprints, first one, you know, organizing stuff. That's what he is. I mean, he is the ultimate coach's son, which he is literally, but that's how he plays. And so the leadership part of it, you know, allows him to really have an impact on that program in a very positive way. So that is probably true, what you just said about him in a large way having a lot to do in maybe saving the direction of that program offensively.
Chris, tell everybody what they need to do to subscribe to LandryFootball.com and also tell them about all the podcasts.
Well, here's the best way. It's very simple. Go to LandryFootball.com. You can check and see what we're all about, see what interests you. I recommend our best savings special that we have, which is a scouting season sale, which is almost 60% off. It's a great way to get involved and check us out. And what you get for the behind-the-scenes stuff is we break down all the college rosters. That's what I am working on right now. I've been feverishly working on school by school, breaking down the rosters, position by position, grading players, grading the incoming freshman class. So how many blue-graded players, red-graded players, purple-graded players does your team have? That'll really give you a good indication of where you are personnel-wise. And kind of previewing the schools, the season, looking at the schedules, the coaching, all the behind-the-scenes stuff. In our notebooks every day, we're keeping you updated on everything, all this transfer stuff and all the recruiting, which, as you know, is really big right now this month. A lot of visits, a lot of commitments, how these players fit to the class of 2020 and already trickling in with a lot of 2021 talk. So we keep you updated on a daily basis of what's going on. For the folks that also like the NFL game, we're doing the same thing, breaking down the rosters. Going to start that in June as well, along with the college football. So there is no off season. We're breaking down football every day. We're getting you ready for the football season. As you mentioned, a lot of free stuff on the website, a lot of podcasts that you can get a hold of. It's on there. You know, we from conference a podcast, which we're trying out, National College Football Weekly podcast, National Pro Football Inside the Film Room podcast, the College Football National Inside the Film Room podcast. And then we try to do some different things, like with the Landry Football podcast every Tuesday and Thursday. Particularly this time of year, I use it to try to do something that you're not going to hear anywhere else. For example, I have started the past couple of last Tuesday and Thursday, and I'm continuing to kind of break down the game of football. If you want to learn more about how to break down a game, how to see things that are different that can make you a better fan, I'm starting now. I'm going to take everybody through a week of game plans. How do you put a game plan in from college or NFL? What happens on Sunday? What happens on Monday? How many plays do you put into a game plan? How do you whittle it down? What do you decide? I'm taking you through the whole process from a coaching standpoint, just like I did prior to the draft and in recruiting, breaking down how you set up a recruiting board, how you set up a draft board, how you evaluate players, what are the different skill sets, the position specifics, and the critical factors for each position. It's not just, well, I like this guy. Well, why do you like him? Verify it with a descriptive report. We try to explain that. So I think this is a good time to maybe get you inside of a game plan since it's not during the season and we can go into greater detail. And we're interactive. People can send questions. I'll answer them on the podcast. So a lot of stuff that we're excited about, we try to make it this way. You, the fan or the owner, you're the big booster, and you want an insight into how things take place in coaching meetings, scouting meetings, recruiting meetings, whatnot. We're going to be your general manager. We're going to explain it to you and answer your questions in the best way that we can to give you a better feel for it. So that's a long-winded way, as I tend to always be, about what we do at LandryFootball.com. So we're excited about it. You like football, you love LandryFootball.com. Follow me on Twitter, at LandryFootball, Facebook, LandryFootball. We're easy to find.
Chris, good stuff, buddy. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate you.